verse that I believe God has been working on me and is asking me to share with you. One verse. How long can this talk be? It's one verse. It's Hebrews 5:7. It says, during the day of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. How many of us grasp the reality of the humanity of Jesus? The scripture says he's offering up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the only one who could save him from death. Those aren't the prayers of a conquering Savior. Those are the prayers of somebody who's taken on a human form and despairs and goes to travail just like me and you. And he turns to the only one who can answer his prayers. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. You know, this is New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve is a pretty cool day for me because stupid tomorrow is New Year's Day with all those resolutions. And so New Year's Eve is the blowout day, right? I get to watch the football games. I get to eat what I want to eat. I get to drink what I want to drink because tomorrow starts that stupid resolution thing. You know, a lot of you probably have resolutions. They could be physical, right? I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to work out every day. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've done that. I'm going to eat healthy. How's that, man? I'm going to eat healthy. What a joke if you saw me eat. I'm going to give up those vices that we have. Listen, your New Year's resolutions could be spiritual. It cracked me up the other day. I was just reading Paul Lowdy's musings. He talked about New Year's. He talked about New Year's resolutions and how hopeless sometimes they are. But in the spiritual vein, we could be committing ourselves to reading the Bible more regularly every day. We could be praying with more consistency. We could be coming to Tuesday night services, prayer services with a new commitment. We could be joining the men's group. We could be volunteering. We could be spending more time at the PLCC. These are all New Year's resolutions that I'm sure we've all struggled with. Some of you will succeed with your New Year's resolutions. Many won't. You know, at the heart of resolutions is this concept of self-discipline. It's a trait we all admire. It's a trait that some of you have in abundance. It's a trait that many of you don't have much at all. So my experience is I grew up underneath a very, very disciplined man. My father was one of the most self-disciplined people I'd ever met in my life. He was a U.S. Army sergeant. He was battalion chief in the New York City Fire Department. He commanded respect wherever he went. Stories abound about how he ran his firehouse and eventually how he ran the Bronx. We still have stories over at the restaurant, people coming into the restaurant from all over New York City firemen telling stories about the kind of rules and the rigidity and the leading by example that he had. My father was a world-ranked rower. I don't know if anybody knows that. My father watched two of my brothers rowing in college, and he decided that maybe that's something he could do when he was in his 40s. So he went out and he bought a used boat, a used scull, and he taught himself how to row up on the reservoirs in upstate New York all by himself so nobody would watch him tip. And before he was done, he was rowing in the top regattas in the United States. He rowed at the head of the Charles Regatta and came in third place. He was nationally ranked rower by the time he was done. Self-trained. He was a self-trained triathlete, another sport he picked up in his 50s. He was ranked on Long Island in the top 10 in the Masters division. Self-trained. My father had this bizarre thing about having a vision as to what he needed to do to accomplish his goals. He developed exercise routines before they existed. He was doing repetitions and sets with free weights. He had this vision one time that these weights are silly. I can only use them for one exercise. So he actually built a system of pulleys and weight connections so that he could do multiple exercises on one thing. 6 or 7 years later, the universal weight machine was invented and distributed. My father had built one of those in our garage. He was incredibly self-disciplined. Unfortunately, he tried to jam that down our throats too. And we weren't all as self-disciplined as he was. He had this routine where we would have to do those exercises. All those great machines I told you about, we would have to exercise on. He would make us run in the creek down in the Bronx along the river. And if you fell behind him, who knew what would happen? So you had to keep up with him. We used to have to do push-ups and sit-ups and calisthenics and running. He also had this routine, this drill he had with us. At night, we would line up before going to bed. And we had this thing, all 6 kids would have to line up. And he had this thing, you used to have to wash your hands, your face, your ears, your neck, brush your teeth, and wash your feet. But that's not how it sounded during drill time. You lined up, wash your hands, face, your neck, brush your teeth, wash your feet. Kevin, step forward. Step forward. Did you brush your teeth? Yes, sir. He says, do me a favor, go in the bathroom, get your toothbrush, don't let me hear the water running and bring it out here. He'd bring it out and he'd check the bristles. He'd spring back the bristles to see if they were wet. Bart, you wash your neck? Yes, sir. Bring it over here. Steven, how about your feet? Are they clean? Yes, sir. Take off your socks. Let's take a look. Jack, breathe in my face. I'll know if you brushed your teeth. I try to give that discipline to my kids. They just crack up. You know, it's got to be like, you got to have it in order to deliver it. You know, I used to set up these routines in the house where they'd all eat this breakfast. You know, you have a bowl of cereal, no sugar. No sugar in that cereal, no sugared cereal. You got to take a vitamin pill. You got to drink juice. You got to finish that cereal no matter how soggy it gets, right, Jess? No matter how soggy. And I thought for 6 or 7 years, man, everybody was following my routine. I'd go to work, Eileen executed what I had set aside. I realized, like, just a couple of years ago, everybody was cracking up. The minute I was gone, the pancakes were out, the syrup was out, the vitamin pills were being fed to the dog. Self-discipline. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Self-discipline is an awesome asset. We all wish we had more of it. It's definitely a factor in a successful life. But we need to be really, really careful here. Self-discipline does not create spiritual intimacy. Self-discipline is not the criteria by which you are going to be judged. Remember in Hebrews 11:6 it says, and it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Your father wants your heart. In 2018, he wants your heart. Not your good works, not your self-disciplined efforts. Your surrender or submission to him is what enables good works to flow forth from you. It's your submission that allows good works that are worthy in his eyes to come forth. It is him working in the surrendered me and you. It's not you. It's the surrendered you that he can do the work in. Which brings us back to that scripture again that he's asking me to dwell on, and I pray you as well. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. This scripture is saying that God the Father heard and answered Jesus' prayers not because of what Jesus was doing, not because of what Jesus was saying, not because of the incredible discipline Jesus was evidencing, but because he was submitted to the Father. This is the message I think and I believe in my heart God is imploring me to listen to. Stop trying to do things for me. Surrender unto me like my son did. My son is broken. He was a human being. He came to me with cries and pleas. It's not the Jesus we think of. This human Jesus cried to the Father, and the Father heard him and answered him because he was submitted to the Father, not because he was a great human being, because he submitted to the Father. It sounds simple, but it doesn't resonate. It doesn't resonate with the fallen world. Listen to Matthew. Matthew, this is a famous scripture. Matthew 11, 25, 30. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. These things are not intuitive. Submitting is not intuitive. We are rugged individualists. We are God's instrument for peace. We are the ones he can use. We are the ones send us forth. We are great. Submitting, yielding to him, turning the other cheek. Are you kidding me? These are not intuitive. Matthew goes on to say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a famous verse, right? We've all heard it. Come, you who are weary. Take my yoke upon you. It is light. It is easy. Have you thought about that verse? It sounds like a call to follow Jesus. It sounds like he has a handout offering to help you along. But I think you have to reconsider that verse. I don't think that's really what it's saying. Consider it again. He's telling you to submit, to surrender. What the heck is a yoke? A yoke is put a yoke on. In other words, enslave yourself. He's telling you to enslave yourself to him. He's saying once you do it, it'll be easy, but he's not telling you, listen, he wants you to voluntarily surrender all to him. This is no small request. This is huge. Surrender to him. 2018, surrender to him. Put that yoke on. Voluntarily surrender to him. He didn't say it'd be easy to surrender. He said it would be easy once you did. The burden would be easy and the yoke would be light. He didn't say it would be easy. It goes against all human nature. Who's going to enslave themselves? Who's going to submit themselves? Who's going to lay it all down? God can do great things with me. Me and him can partner together. We can be great together. He's telling me to forget it. Doesn't want a partner. He wants me submitted. It's hard to do, yet if we surrender, he promises it will be easy to live out. You know, there's a scripture in Peter, 1 Peter 3:22. It says, Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. What does that say? That says in heaven, everything is already in submission to him. Why are they in submission to him? Because they're there with the evidence right there. It doesn't take faith to submit to him when he's in heaven with you. Those 24 elders, they're taking their crowns off their head and they're laying it down, worshiping him. They're in total submission to him. All of heaven has submitted or surrendered to Jesus. He has full authority from the Father. All of humanity will one day submit and surrender to Jesus. He's asking you to do it now voluntarily, before you're in heaven, before it's inevitable, before you have no choice. He's asking you to surrender to him. He's asking me to surrender to him. I have to always apologize. This is what he's telling me. I hope it's registering with you. I am to surrender to Jesus voluntarily. I know at the end of eternity we're going to be surrendered to him, submitted to him. All of creation's going to bow down to him. But will we choose to do it voluntarily based on faith? Can I really surrender? Can I really surrender? Can I really give up my self-indulgences? Can I really give up the freedoms he's given me, the choice? You know, I want both. I want to love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and I want to live my life. I want to live and indulge myself. I want to serve mammon, and I want to serve God. I want both. And he says it's impossible. But am I willing to surrender that to my Savior? The Savior that's got a special place stored for me in heaven already. Am I willing to do that for him? You know, the heart is willing, but the flesh is weak. Of course we need God's strength to do that. But it has to start with us. We have to be willing to submit and surrender. We're at a crossroads, and we need to make the right decision. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. He's telling us to submit ourselves. Acceptable to God, which is the spiritual service of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You want to know God's will for your life? It's to surrender to him. You want God to do something in your life? You think there's some work God wants to get out of you? God wants to surrender you. With your surrendered soul, God can do unbelievable things. As long as you hold out and insist on being his equal partner, you will come up short. He wants you surrendered to him. He wants you submitted to him. Let's not kid ourselves. Surrender is not easy. It's not easy in a marriage. It's not easy in relationships. It's not easy at work. It's not easy in a church. Listen, I haven't made your life any easier by absolving you or removing this notion of New Year's resolutions. Resolutions that require self-discipline. I haven't made your life easier. Instead, I'm asking myself and inviting you to take that full step of faith and surrender to the Father. Complete submission. I don't have the strength to do that. I need God's strength. Isn't it inevitable we always come back? We need God's strength to do the things God wants us to do. So I need God's strength. But I tell you this, I know he needs us to take the first step. If we're not willing to surrender it to him, if we're not willing to submit it to him, if we're not willing to give it all up for him in 2018, where does he start? What, does he work halfway with us? What, does he deal with the part that we're offering him and hope for the rest? Doesn't the Bible say he's a jealous God? He wants it all. And it's really easy to walk out of here. Let me tell you, I'm struggling with this message because I'm afraid I'm a bullcrap artist. I'm afraid I'm going to walk outside that door and it just didn't mean anything. Is that a bad word? I apologize. I was allowed to say that as a child. I wasn't allowed to say very much, but I was allowed to say that. But that is my struggle. I don't want to be a phony before God. I don't want to get up here and talk about something I'm not willing to do. I don't even know if it's for you. This is for me. I know it. And it hurts because I'm not so sure I'm going to be able to do it. But I know I have to try. I know I have to take the first step. I know 2018 cannot look like 2017, 16, 15, 14, and all the way back. It just can't. It can't. It can't, given what we're going through here. It can't. Can't be the same. This body is not supposed to be stagnant. This body is not supposed to be reeling from some worldly disaster and in a state of shock. This body is supposed to be on its knees seeking God and trusting God. But in order to get there, we have to give himself ourselves first. The last time I spoke up here on the altar, we were asking for God to impart his Holy Spirit to us. And I really, really felt compelled that God did not want us to leave until we received that Holy Spirit. I knew when we walked outside that door, the world would hit us and that flesh and spirit would be in a battle again. But while we were here, we could lay it all aside and be filled with that Holy Spirit. And I truly feel God honored that and that we walked out of here filled with the Holy Spirit. Today's different. Today I'm not asking God to give us something. Today what I'm suggesting we do is we surrender to God. He doesn't need a partner. He wants me and you. I've asked Joel to prepare a song about surrender, that we would be in a position, and some of you struggle. Some of you are great, you know, with altar calls. You come up and you, you know, submit yourself at the altar. I have a hard time with that. To be honest, I'm self-conscious about it. I don't care where you go. But as Joel sings this song, as we close the service today, and I told you it was going to be short, but hopefully short has nothing to do with the message from the Lord. But as Joel leads us into a worship song about surrender, I would just pray that you would seek God's strength, that you could lay it down and make 2018 different, that you would seek God in such a way that you would lay aside yourselves and allow God to take over. The dead you is the body that God can use. I'm dead to Christ. Once dead, God can do amazing things with us. So whether you choose to stay in your seats, you're certainly more than welcome to come up to the altar. But my prayer for you, as it is for me, is that I'd be able and you'd be able to surrender it all to the Lord in 2018, and that this body will never look like it did in the past and will look like a shining light of God going forward. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.